Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, March 8th, 2012. It is now 6:30 a.m. Central Standard Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. I like to repeat that. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 888, toll free, 888-773-4496. That's 888-773-4496. Folks, I'd like to make this open mic morning if we can. There's thousands of things that we can talk about, literally. But I want to hear from you and what you have to say and what your questions are and what your criticisms are. Anything you have to say, anything that's on your mind, please give us a call, 888-773-4496. You may also still access this program through Blog Talk Radio, number of 646-652-4620. I guess you could use that number if you're on a cell phone. It doesn't make any difference if it's toll-free. Send us your email to comments@libertytalkradio.com. Email's dropped off somewhat. I've been getting some very complimentary email, which I certainly appreciate, love to read. In fact, I don't read them once. I read them like 1,000 times. You know, it makes me feel good. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, sutton-associates.net. That's sutton-associates.net. And sign up, damn it, sign up. In his monthly newsletters and podcasts, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. Some of them are free, you know, and then he's got a paid prescription. Andy is on this program the third Wednesday of every month. He just puts everything back into sync. Everything back into focus, that all the garbage that you hear all week, he explains it. He's an economist. He's very good. Wonderful person, by the way. You will benefit by it. I'm telling you, if you do so, you know, don't wait before it's too late. Also, you know, someone that I have not promoted, and I should. I mean, I'm a big fan and I'm a financial supporter of, Citizens in Charge. The guy's the executive director of Citizens in Charge, and he writes a column, Common Sense, on a daily basis. His name is Paul Jacob, and this is commonsense.com. Go to Common Sense or Google Common Sense by Paul Jacob. Every day, it's short, sweet, always to the point, excellent writer, great mind. I don't know how he does it. He does it every single day. I mean, never has failed. I mean, the guy is absolutely remarkable. He is a true freedom fighter. He makes me look like an absolute weenie. Paul Jacobs and Andy Sutton, two great men. Lastly, I would also, Liberty Talk Radio broadcasts are archived and available from our website, but are also accessed via iTunes now. And you may follow us under Twitter at Liberty Joe. Lastly, I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. And with that, I have an apology. We have had that now for the longest time, and we just realized the base wasn't growing the past few months. Went through, and guess what? It wasn't working. So if you tried to subscribe and was unsuccessful, please try to do it again, and this time hopefully it will work. We were under the illusion that it was working, and it was not. It's one of those bits, bites things that came in bit us. One. Okay, good morning, everyone. You know, this program is somewhat different than many others in that we are not going to take an issue. For example, the election, the Republican election going on, or the caucuses and the primaries, and regurgitate it. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to make sense of this world. In the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be 69 years old, and I'm still trying to figure it out. And it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing, folks, how I know people who are 20s and 30s, you know, and they have the whole thing figured out. No problem. They know exactly what to do, you know. And all you've got to do is either vote Republican or Democrat and everything would be fine. And it was, we have a non-thinking public. And the more you think about it, the more it should upset you. So what I attempt to do is take an issue and find out what really is the problem. Now, do I have the solution identified perfectly fine every time? Absolutely not. I really wish I did. I'd write a book and become super wealthy. But I think I do hit a chord, and I do go to the core of the issue, and I try to bring it forward. And I want to give you an example, and this is one that's been very, very, very interesting. Healthcare. We know healthcare is an issue that comes up during elections and in between. And it really is a major, major issue for everyone around the world, whether or not you come from the Congo, or whether you're in China, whether you're in Malaysia, Canada, United States, or Europe, Western Europe, makes no difference. Healthcare is an issue. Now, in most countries, they feel as if they have successfully tackled the healthcare dilemma by initiating a universal healthcare system. And in a sense, they are correct. The speech that I heard the other day at a business meeting compared the U.S. healthcare system to the one in Canada, I believe Japan, Western Europe, and then ours. So there was four. Now, the one that fared out the worst was the one in the United States. Now, strangely enough, it didn't surprise me. And not that this person had an agenda. This person was just regurgitating or reiterating what the facts were. We have a convoluted system here that somehow is benefiting a small group of people at the expense of everyone else. And I think other countries have recognized this, knew that they couldn't afford to do this, went to a more universal type care system, streamlined it, got rid of the attorneys, the denial system, you know, the reject systems, the paperwork and everything. And some are really slick systems where you carry a card. Everything on the your entire history is on the card. You go to any doctor anytime, give them the card. They zap it in the computer. You show up, bingo, doctor treats you. If you don't like that doctor, you go across the street to somebody else, some other doctor. And I think that is, in fact, far beneficial to what we have now. Now you may be thinking, Joe, you've turned socialist on us. What happened? Well, after the presentation, they took questions. And everyone asked the typical questions, and, you know, you could imagine what they were. And I sat there, and of course, here I am, the antagonist, you know, always asking a question that I shouldn't be asking. And, oh, by the way, let me interrupt myself and say, we have several people on the board listening via phone. Anytime that you want to interrupt, just press the one button, and I'll put you on the air. Just want to remind you. Right now, I'm just going to let you listen. All right, let me finish my thought. Thank you very much. Area code 716, just hold on there 1 second, please. But the question that I did ask was this. Why is it that we had four types of healthcare systems that we were comparing, but the major one, the one that we should be using as a base to compare each one to, was missing? And of course, the presenter said, what could possibly that be? I said the free enterprise system, one in which there is absolutely no government involvement. And the answer was this. Listen carefully, folks. The answer was this. He said, well, if you want that type of system, go to the Congo. Now, quite frankly, I do not know what type of government the Congo has. I would assume it is not the free enterprise system. I would assume it is not like Taiwan or Hong Kong, where it's a thriving metropolis of capitalism around the world. I would imagine it's quite repressive. And my response was this. I said, no, wait a minute. Let's not go any further than that. I said, why don't we compare a free enterprise system, not one which is subjugated by a dictatorship and then call it a free enterprise system? Why did we sort of bastardize, if you will, that concept? And he had no answer. Well, see, the problem is that we are afraid. We are literally afraid of the free enterprise system. We are afraid what would happen. And I followed up by saying, what would happen if the government took the same position with computers in 1980 as they did with the healthcare system? How much would a laptop cost, and how heavy would it be? Well, I said, well, I contend that a laptop would cost you around $10,000 and weigh about 40 pounds. And I shut my mouth. But no one could argue because the government has absolutely 100% perfect track record of screwing everything up. And so does every other country. Why do we think for a second that every country around the world, which is totally screwed up financially and otherwise, all of a sudden has the perfect answer to healthcare? All right, now I'll take the call.
Hey, how you doing?
Good morning, area code 716. Good morning. Your first name, please.
Good morning. Oh, Will.
Will, good morning. Thank you so much for calling in Liberty Talk Radio this early in the morning. Oh, what time zone are you in?
I'm on East Coast.
East Coast.
I'm on, Eastern Standard.
Eastern Standard. Okay, well, I'm from East Harlem, New York. You know, I sang doo-wop back in the 50s, so welcome to Liberty Talk Radio.
I'm upstate. I'm up in Buffalo.
Oh, okay. All righty. Very good. I went through Buffalo once in my life. You know that? Once in my life. And that must have been about 50 years ago. Did they ever refurbish the downtown?
Well, they've tried, but since then, you might detect that I don't really have a true northern accent. I was raised down south.
Okay.
They try. Buffalo politics is kind of strange. You know, they really can't get anything going. They exhausted most of the money that they had accumulated, you know, before, you know, because at one time all the millionaires were here.
Oh, I see.
And the city used to have some wealth, but they've exhausted all that. So there's not really much they can do with downtown Buffalo.
Sounds like my wife. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. Only kidding. I thought that would be a good joke, but that was a terrible joke. But go ahead. Now, tell me, how did you learn about Liberty Talk Radio? And I'm sorry to take up your time asking you this question, but I'm curious.
Well, I usually patrol around on Blog Talk at night. And
I say,
I just was up in the morning, and I'm not going to work today. So I was like, hey, let me see what's going on in the morning. And I was listening to you, and I just said, well, let me call in and see what he's talking about.
Okay, well, that's great. Well, I'm awfully glad that you called. I hope you become a regular listener. And I'll tell you what I will do, because you called up so early in the morning. If you will, after our conversation and this program, if you will drop me an email to comments@libertytalkradio.com with a mailing address and a T-shirt size, I'll send you a Liberty Talk Radio T-shirt. Now, if I don't have your size, give me a couple of weeks. We're having some more made, okay?
Okay.
I'd be more than happy to do
so. I can do that.
But you must wear it 24 hours a day. You can never take it off, can never wash it, okay?
Okay. What is it'll work for that part.
Will, what's your question or comment?
Well, it's not so much as a question, right? Because I'm listening to you speaking, right? And you're talking about why not a free market system. I think what happens here in our country, we don't really have a clear definition of what free market system is. I mean, we do have a definition for it, but you got to forgive me. I'm only 40 years old, so I know you've been around longer than I am, and you're going to be here to educate me.
I would love to be 40
again. I'm a 70s baby. Right? I was born in the 70s. I have no idea what a free market system is. I do know what we call a free market, where you have a lot of corporations that have special interests that attach themselves and extract from it. I understand we do have a lot of socialism in our country, where, you know, the up and coming healthcare is going to be somewhat socialistic based, you know, what's formerly a Republican ideal because of the individual mandate. You know what? To tell you the truth, all this is foreign to me.
Okay. All right. You know, I'm glad that you posed that question, because I think that was a courageous thing to do. Most people would not admit that. And most people wouldn't think through that much. So they would just start arguing or taking a side. And I'm really glad. I'm really pleased that you brought that up. You're right. It is difficult for us to define a free market system, Will, because primarily we haven't had one for over 100 years. So whatever system we conjure up in our minds is always convoluted and contaminated with government regulations and restrictions and precepts and barriers on every side. A true free market system is one in which you do whatever you want, provided you do not infringe upon the equal rights of others. Period. It's very simple. Let me give you a very plain and simple example. My wife's an audiologist. She does ears, you know. People come to her. She refuses to take Medicare and Medicaid because it's a scam, and she won't support those systems. And I can tell you horror story after horror stories, but I'll save you that. A person will come to my wife and really have a hearing problem. And admit to her, they said, you know, ma'am, I can't pay you. And she didn't say, get out, you know. She says, no problem. Yeah. And they work things out between the two. In other words, there's a buyer and a seller. And in the healthcare system, there's a buyer and a seller. In this case, it's a seller of services. Now, understand, we put healthcare in some mythical category, some pedestal. You know, when I see a surgeon, you know what I think of? Auto mechanic.
What?
I think of auto mechanic. I mean, I think it's probably more difficult to become an auto mechanic, a good auto mechanic, than it is to be a surgeon, because everyone's body's the same. You know, you cut them in the middle. There's a stomach there for. There's a belly for you. You know, there's a lung. You know, cars changed every year, but carburetor, fuel injection. Oh my God, they have that. You know. To me, you got to be a lot more savvy, a lot smarter, you know, and a lot more proficient in your profession to be an auto mechanic than to be a surgeon. To be a surgeon, I think, gets boring after a while. I open the brain again, you know, I took out the left lobe. I mean, how many times can you do that? But yet we revere that. Now, I'm not downplaying any surgery or any doctor. Don't get me wrong. I have friends that are doctors. They're wonderful people. They work hard, and they're brilliant. They're a lot smarter than I am. And I cannot. I'm not smart enough to be a doctor.
Once you know what you're doing, you know what you're doing.
You know what you're doing, right.
Whereas... because I also fix computers, right? And the process of fixing computers, there's a lot of things you have to learn and experience what could be wrong.
Right. You could imagine if a body, if I went to the doctor said, what kind of body do you have? I said, I have version 3.6. You know, that would make it a lot difficult. Well, my point being this is that we tend, because of that, we take the medical profession and place it separately that from everything else in this world, right? It's special. You can't treat it the same. It's no different than anything else. You know, you go to a doctor, and then the argument, well, what happens if your appendix bursts, you're broke, you go to the emergency room, and you have no money? Well, in a free, true free market system, understand, there are no forms being filled out, there's no government checks, there's no subsidies, there's no insurance, there's no nothing. I mean, the hospital doesn't deal with any of that. First of all, you reduce the cost of running the hospital by about two-thirds just there alone, number one. Then,
let me ask you something, Joe.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. I mean, I understand what you're saying, right? Because I have read about what we had before, even 100 years ago. I've read about it, but like I said, I don't know what – like I said at the top of, I don't really know what it means, because in our society today, right, 100 years ago – and there's a lot of advantages we have now that they don't have 100 years ago, and there's a lot of advantages they had. Like, for example, I was making an argument with one of my Tea Party friends, right? He just wants to wipe out all entitlements or whatever, and he hates the food stamp program. And I had to tell him, I said, you know, 100 years ago when you were poor, you can just go out in the backyard, shoot something and eat. You know, I don't have no wildlife in my backyard. I have to drive all the way down to the grocery store. And if you shoot anything down there, you're going to jail.
That's correct. You know? That's right.
Because the progress that we have made as a cultivated society in America, right, we have more people that's dependent purely on cultivation than we did, just say, 100 years ago.
Correct.
Now, I can understand 100 years ago where, you know, if you were sick and you had no money, you could work something out with the doctor. The doctor might do something for free. You know, it depends, because you had a community relationship, right?
Correct.
If this was 100 years ago, there would probably be two or three doctors in this immediate area that I'm in, maybe just one, right? But I would know who he is. He would know who I was. he will already know how much I'm worth. He'll already know. He will already know if I can pay for this or not, right?
Correct.
And I can understand how that worked 100 years ago. But when we come up to 100 years later, to 2012, where we have a increased dependency on cultivation in our society, right, where we don't – it doesn't function the same, you know. I'm sure we have a doctor somewhere in this area, but I have no idea who he is.
Right. No, well, let me answer that question for you, right? There is absolutely no way that we can take our current state of affairs and revert back to 125 years ago. Couldn't do it. I mean, because it didn't take a day for it to change. It took 125 years. Whatever it is, and I'm making that up, obviously, it's metaphorically. But if, in fact, we wanted to get back to that, it would have to slowly change. And let me just give you one example. In my area, there's now a nurse's clinic where if there's – and you just walk in. You don't need referrals or anything. And, you know, for 90% of the stuff that's wrong with us, a nurse is more than qualified. I mean, a nurse practitioner or whatever. They know.
Yeah,
my friends are nurses. You
want
to know something? I'd rather go to a nurse than a doctor any day of the week. They're more – they go, oh, don't worry about it. You know, doctors make a big to-do about nothing. They only want to do is prescribe more medication that make me more sick. But my point being is that we are reverting very, very slowly back to that because we know the system we have here is unsustainable. But we are. But it would take a very, very long, long time. For example, let's go back to my wife's audiology practice. And this is a microcosm of the entire problem. And someone would come to her and she'd say, tell me what could you do? You know, some of them say, you know, I'm a beekeeper. I can give you honey every month. She says, I love honey. Good. How much? She says, what you do, could you pay me $50 a month and a jar of honey? They go, good deal. You got it. And what she will do, and I'll be very honest, exactly that. Technology in the hearing industry changes by the day almost these days, you know. So she will take something that maybe she may have in inventory that's, 6 months old. I mean, really old stuff. I mean, it's phenomenal stuff. But it's not the very latest and the greatest. She only deals with the latest and the greatest because that's the way she treats her customers. That's why she's so good. And she will take this thing, and let's assume for a second that it cost her $1,000 and it's sitting there in inventory, you know. She'll say, look, she said, this technology, I'll let you have for $500. Yep. In other words, she gets rid of it. It's like a company that's bought too many items and they put them on sale, you know. And she does the same thing, and she says, $50 a month. Now, do people pay her back? You know, 90% of the time, they pay her back, I mean, just beautifully. She's happy. They're happy. Everyone's happy. There's no government, no nothing. Now, will everyone do that? No, absolutely not. But in a free enterprise system, then you go to someone else who will. You see, we have this freedom of choice, which we have totally lost. I go to a doctor. I have no idea what this doctor's going to charge me or why I'm even going to him. But I got it on the card. I got to go to this doctor for this reason. It's insane. You know, it is very difficult to perceive a free market system in a system that is so convoluted that we have now because our minds have been so contaminated, you know, with the way that we think. And this is why we have this program here. This is why I vent my frustration. But it would take very small steps like local clinics, a reduction in some of the restrictions that government places, which will probably be nearly impossible. This will take place when the economy eventually collapses under its own weight and they say, hey, we can't do it anymore, and there will be absolutely no alternative but that. But I understand what you're saying.
I can agree with you because I do know of this one particular some doctor in New York, because I was just reading it, where he decided to just see anybody who comes to him and just charge them $50. Well, the state of New York came down on them, and for some reason.
Hello?
Whatever.
Okay.
And they made them stop, right? And I was like, well, what's the problem? I mean, you know, yeah, I bring them $50. He checks me out, see what's wrong with me, and go from there. You know, and I can live with that. Right, because it beats going to a doctor and getting charged $3,000.
Absolutely. Every time I go, a couple of times I've seen the bill for practically nothing. I mean, I can buy a car for what these people charge. And it's not the doctors. It's the system that's charging. And the doctors are really being underpaid. But go ahead.
Well, you know, one of my good friends, right, I'm 40, so he's about 48. You know, right now we're about on the same level. But throughout most of my life, he was always older and more advanced, right?
Yeah.
He makes roughly about $50,000 a year. And he got in an accident, a car accident, about 4 years ago. He sat in the hospital for roughly 3 weeks. And, you know, he has a wife and two kids. And his bill for that came out to be $300,000.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
He lost his house. He lost his job eventually. He lost his job because, you know, after a while, you know, they just wouldn't sustain him anymore. They now live in the projects. He's on welfare, and he still has to pay this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I understand what you're saying, and your advantage is that your advantage that other people don't see is that you are older, right? So you remember a time period where things were done differently.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. I remember doctors coming to the house.
But to the rest of us, right, and see, that's the problem with today's politics, and this is the reason why when conservatives get mad and start hollering at everybody, they kind of lose younger people.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And then,
absolutely.
You know, because it's like, I don't know what it is to be in anything other than the system that I am. In 71, when I was born, the system was different. But I was just a kid.
Right.
By the time I became an adult, I was locked in the HMO system.
Right. Will, I have to interrupt you. We're late on station identification. Just let me hold your thought. We'll be right back to you.
All right.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Our toll-free number is 888-773-4496. That's 888-773-4496. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. We have Will on the phone right now. We're discussing the healthcare system. Please call in and dial 1 if you'd like to ask a question to be part of our program. We'd love to hear from you. We have about 20 more minutes to go on this program, but we'll wrap this thing up, Will, with your last comment, okay?
Well, yeah, and I'll try to be quick about it. What I'm stating is like, because we, most of us in America, don't know, right?
Correct.
We don't even know, like, for example, I go up to Canada all the time. My girlfriend's up in Canada, right? Canada's health system has some advantages and disadvantages.
Absolutely.
Right?
Correct.
For one, if I got shot, I'd rather be in America. We have outstanding trauma. If you get burnt, if you get burned real bad, if you know half your body gets cut off, you want to be in America. You don't want to be in Canada, right? If you have cancer and you're going to die, you want to be in America, right? But if you want to catch cancer early, you want to be in Canada.
Ah, okay. Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you mean. Very good.
You know, yeah, I can go in Canada if I was a part of their healthcare system. I can go anytime something's wrong. And Canadians go, they get a headache. They go to the doctor.
Right.
Right? You know, us Americans, we're a little bit tougher. We have to get a headache and black out with a nosebleed before we go to the doctor.
Right. Well, let me say this. I have several people on the line and in the queue, so I need to leave you. But let me remind you to send me your email. And with a mailing address, if you'd like. And don't forget your T-shirt size. We're having some new ones made, so maybe a couple of weeks before I get them to you. But I will send you email address for being part of our program. We certainly appreciate it. I will just put you on the hold right now, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Will. Appreciate you calling up.
No
and
problem.
My regards to everybody up there, okay?
Yeah.
Area code 918, you're on the line. Your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Hi, this is Jim in wonderful Bixby, Oklahoma.
Bixby, Oklahoma. How's the weather in Bixby, Oklahoma today?
Very, very windy.
Okay.
Very, very windy.
Okay. I will avoid riding my motorcycle in Bixby, Oklahoma this morning then.
Joe, I've been listening to your broadcast since since 6:30, and it's been an interesting banter with you and Will. So I didn't want to switch subjects, but
oh, please do.
I'm going to. 2 days ago was Super Tuesday, and I did my, you know, my American duty of going to the polls. Oklahoma was one of the 10 states. And I went in there and filled in the box for my GOP candidate that I would like to see win the election. And I just in observing the scene at the voting center and giving thought to it all, I just wonder what your thoughts are of a few things regarding the whole voting thing. Is one, it seems like people will put on those little "I voted today" stickers and feel so proud and patriotic, and they seem to have this perception that it's democracy in action, that it shows how great and free our country is, that we have the choice to decide, you know, who our elected officials are that will make decisions for us. And I just I have the cynic in me feels that there's a lot of false perceptions to our whole democratic voting process. One, even if it works flawlessly as intended, and then again the cynic in me feels that it may be a rigged game between the Diebold electronic voting machines and the suspicion I have about other voting irregularities throughout the whole process.
Okay, Jim.
I just wanted your thoughts on any of my comments regarding voting in America, the democratic process. And is it a right or an obligation? And does it really matter?
Jim, let me answer by saying this. We have a disconnect, and here's our disconnect. We have a true democratic system of voting. One vote, one person. Person who gets the most votes wins. Isn't that like the proverbial the two foxes and the chicken voting on who's going to eat whom, you know,
right?
That's the democratic system, right? But we do not have a democratic republic. We have a democratic nation. We have a republic. So what we do when we vote in a democratic manner, but then we convert to a republic. Here's my problem. If we are going to have a republic where we have representation, now remember the word is representation, then everyone who votes should be representative. All right. Let's say, for example, in Europe, they do this. Let's say, for example, that Ron Paul gets 20% of the vote. Well, he didn't get 20% of the vote. The libertarian philosophy got 20% of the vote, and 20% of Congress, 20% of the Senate will be libertarian. See, now you have apples and apples. Not right now. We have apples and oranges or mangoes or something. We have nothing that is the same. Right now, if one person gets 50.1% of the votes, and the other person gets 49.9% of the votes, right? The 50.1 takes it all. Now, how could we say that's a representative republic? It is not. So what we should do is, if Ron Paul, in this case, got 25% of the vote, 25% of the representation that goes to Congress is going to represent Ron Paul's libertarian philosophy, which is freedom. Now, in that case, you can rig all you want, but you can't rig it to a point where Ron Paul gets one vote. I mean, if he got 50,000 votes, he got 50,000 votes. You can cheat and say, well, I'm going to make it 40,000, make him come in second place. That's fine. I mean, you can still cheat. You'll get a lesser representation, but at least you'll have someone there screaming about it. But right now, you're the oddball out, and you will always be the oddball out because the system is stacked against you. They say, all right, we have a democratic system when we vote. Ha-ha. All right, now that's after the election. Sorry, folks, no more democracy. Now we're a republic. You got what you got. All right, you know what? The foxes won. Sorry, chicken. See? And we're all chickens. That's the problem. Now, in addition to that, we have a system where one person votes. Everyone, you know, the person who wins gets everything. But we don't have an option when we vote. We should, my favorite one, and there's many others that I favor, by the way, but one of my favorites is the approval voting system. I love that voting system. That means when you go into the voting booth, Let's say there's a Republican, a Democrat, and an independent. And call the independent, I don't care what he is, whatever. You know, libertarian, anarchist, I don't care, you know.
Communist,
I don't care. Makes no difference. And the person says, you know, I'm a diehard Republican. I'm going to vote Republican. I hate Democrats. I've never met a Democrat I ever liked. You know, he votes Republican, although the Republican may be a bum, you know, the Democrat may be a good guy. He votes Republican, votes against the Democrat. He has to physically vote against the Democrat, and then he goes to the independent and goes, you know, but of all three of them, the only one that makes any sense is the independent, the libertarian in this case. So he votes for the libertarian. Now, let's assume for a second in our universe there's only two voters. Only two voters. That's a total population. The next guy who comes in is a diehard Democrat. And you and I know many diehard Democrats, like they're maniacs, right? Just like the Republicans, conservatives are. And he goes in there, hate the Republicans, votes no for a Republican, love the Democrat. I'm always Democrat. I got a deep, right on my forehead, printed, you know, with the, what do you call it, ink, you know, the tattoo on my forehead. And then he looks at the independent and goes, you know, but, you know, the independent's the only real truthful one. I really like this guy. I'm going to vote for the independent also. They tally up the votes. The Republican got one vote. The Democrat got one vote. How many did the independent, the libertarian get? Two votes. The libertarian won. You see? Now, the government is deathly afraid of an approval voting system. Well, and there's many variations of it. Many, many variations. Some disagree with other different types, which I agree. I'm not going to argue that. But the government is deathly afraid because that becomes now more representative of our system. And once it becomes representative, that means you are representing the system. You are being counted as a part of that representation process. Once you become counted, the government loses. They don't like that. It's so much easier to pay the billions of dollars to put some figurehead in office and then say, suck it up, guys. That's America for you. It's a democracy. You voted for him. That's what you got. You got what you deserve. And it's all wrong. Anyway, sorry for the long term, you know, on it.
I like your perspective on it. I appreciate you sharing that with me. I'm going to let you take another caller if there are any, and listen to the remainder of your broadcast.
Okay,
thanks for all you do.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Bye.
We got to stop again for station identification just for a second.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. We would love to have your calls. We only have about five more minutes or six more minutes to go before this broadcast goes off the air. But our toll-free number is 888-773-4496. That's 888-773-4496. We'd love to hear your thoughts to comments at libertytalkradio.com. I promise I will respond to every email I receive. It's arduous, but I do it anyway. And I do enjoy receiving them, especially those that are criticisms and disagreements. At least it gives us fodder for thought, you know, some... Go for them. Before we go off the air, I want to mention, we've been on healthcare. There is something very, very interesting. Everyone complains about the CPI, you know, the Consumer Price Index, and rightfully so, because it takes into effect changes in technology, and if the technology gets better, they reduce the cost of it, and, you know, like computers, and it brings down the actual, you know, the actual cost of living for the average Joe Blow. Is not sort of in tune with the CPI. And the American Institute of Economic Research, that who agrees, I mean, I guess the organization, actually concurs with the CPI in the way it's calculated. They're not disagreeing with it, but they are saying that once you, we'd like to develop a new one, and they have an EPI called an Everyday Price Index. And this Everyday Price Index excludes big ticket items like flat screen TVs and cars, for example, trips to Hawaii. But, you know, takes more in consideration food, clothing, the things that we buy every day. If you take the Everyday Price Index, now they don't exclude the CPI from their analysis. They use the CPI. But they also say, well, people seem to be hurting more than what the CPI says it is. And one reason, and if you look at the latest figures on the CPI, the one item that is up the most is gasoline. And that brought the CPI, it's up like 20% over the year, that brought the CPI, instead of to 3%, what, 3.5%, whatever it was, to something like 8%. Now, that's more in line to the way we feel. However, I want to add another index before we get off the air, right? And that's the NPI. This is mine, the NPI, the necessary price index. In other words, just the things that are absolutely necessary to survive. Just the food and gasoline and rent and stuff, which is very, very close to the EPI. With one exception. Today, when we go and we shop and we don't have money, we tend to buy cheaper and cheaper food, junk food, manufactured food that's not really food. And so food remains relatively low. If you go down the aisles and you want to buy a box of whatever it is, it's probably not that expensive, you know, because they make it, they just mass produce this stuff. I think it's made out of petroleum anyway. But go to the produce aisles. Go to real food. Maybe it's called the real food index, you know. In other words, the necessary index. The things that are truly necessary. Now, broccoli and spinach and carrots and peas and corn, these are necessary. These are necessary for survival. We're not going to survive on those box foods that are garbage manufactured petroleum products that are much cheaper. And they get cheaper and cheaper as they manufacture more and more, and they downgrade it, and make it sound like, you know, Pop-Tarts. You can live on Pop-Tarts. Pop-Tarts. You can't live on Pop-Tarts. I mean, it'll kill you. But you can live on fruits and vegetables. The problem is, if you look at the necessary index, look at the cost of fruits and vegetables, the real food, and then you add the real food to the energy cost, you have, in fact, a price index that's well over 10%. Now, how do I know? I took no nationwide survey, but I do some of the shopping. I go during the daytime when my wife's at work. She's an audiologist. I go and I pick up the broccoli spears. And if you want real food, I mean like organic food, forget it, folks. You better be rich. You better go there with a, you know, identification. You just simply can't afford it. So my point being is the people on the lower end of the economic scale that want to eat as they used to eat back in the old days with organic food, which was all organic back then, and want to drink, you know, clean this, clean that, and not fabricated crap, they are totally priced out of the food and energy arena. Their cost of living has gone up 10, 15, 20% a year. And I just want to make mention, so we have the CPI, which we live with, the EPI, which is a lot more realistic and I subscribe to, but then we should have even the NPI. And when we get to the NPI, we realize how we are relegating our society to junk food, to absolute junk food. And that's another reason, if we go full circle, why our healthcare costs are so high. We are gaining weight. We are the world's most obese nation because of the crap that we eat. You know, don't eat fruits and vegetables, but drink your Pepsi. And that's the problem. Folks, we're almost out of time. I'd like to get off the air. I want to thank everyone. We still have callers on the air, and they're holding on. I'm sorry we haven't been able to get to you. But maybe next time. We do wish you would call in again. We will be here next, I'm not sure if it's going to be Wednesday evening with a guest, or we'll be here next Thursday morning. I certainly would prefer to discuss issues rather than interview people. I just don't like interviewing people, but there's some that I really should. I think I'll do that next week. Well, thank you so much for listening to Living Talk Radio. This is the end of today's broadcast, and we'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for the financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. Ranch Acres Audiology is a family hearing practice at 3227 East 31st Street in Tulsa. They may be reached at 918-749-7711. Call them for all your hearing needs. You'll be glad you did. Folks, you can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, folks, there is no middle ground. But Ron Paul has a sign that says, don't steal, the government hates competition. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Crispiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.